Hello, everyone. Okay, you're hearing me now. Yes, we are live. Oh my God, there was a connection problem with Streamlabs and Odyssey, and I thought I would restart my computer, but by restarting my computer, it had shut down my audio without me noticing. But now it seems that everything is fixed, so we'll be able to have a show. I was thinking of canceling the show. It's been 20 minutes. Odyssey is working on its back end for streaming, so it's very possible there will be this kind of bugs going forward, but hopefully this will all eventually improve the speed and buffering issues of Odyssey. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? We will be talking about, well, news of war, and a news of war, in my view, is the death of Madeleine Albright, because she had been operating as a globalist agent of the Bill Clinton administration and has been involved in all sorts of globalist shenanigans since then. A woman who's responsible, among other things, for the NATO strike against Serbia. So in many ways, the current situation in Ukraine is kind of the grandchild of the aggressive policy of Madeleine Albright. Although I don't remember that she did anything specific with Ukraine, she was all about this extension of NATO power, this progression of the American Empire. And she's now dead. Did the Ukraine situation give her a little last kick, maybe? Sometimes all it takes is a little push. Well, Madeleine Albright has died, and that's it for her. Stephen Robinson is already on Entropy. He says, Jeff, will Russia demand that all of their commodities be paid for in rubles? Well, it's headed toward this because already today they have announced that they would ask that Gazprom be paid in rubles. Now, it's a very interesting move, and it's the minimalist move, you know. Instead of saying we won't sell you gas anymore, Europe, you know, which I had been tempted to suggest that this is what should happen. But Vladimir Putin went a more indirect way. He instead of saying we'll stop sending you gas and we'll starve you, he's saying, oh, we're still ready to send you gas. You just have to pay in rubles. And what does that mean? What will Germany do? What will the big countries that have exports coming from, well, that take exports from Russia, what will they do? Will they further their denial of interaction with Russia, or will they just accept to pay in ruble? Because this just recreates demand for the ruble. So instead, what's happening is the inverse of what's happening to the USD in a way. The USD is getting disconnected from the resource economy. It's becoming a transactional entity. When in fact, the ruble was a transactional entity within Russia, and it's going to gain the power of a petro ruble, basically. It's a clever move, and I like it. We'll see what the European nations do with it. But what it could result in, and this is what Coach Red Pill is speculating about, he says this will be the end of the USD and the end of America. It's a little strong of a statement that America is committing suicide, basically. But yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, America will be a tertiary market of consumers, but that will not have as much to bring as when they were successful at putting their USD in the middle of every transaction on Earth. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat, 25 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, I missed your live streams for the last few days. A belated congratulations for your decisive and objective win in your debate. The writing was on the wall when his intro speech was in fact a rebuttal. And devolved into hysterics, emotion, and swearing. By halfway, his mind was clearly exhausted. Yeah, he was. I'm very proud of my performance, but he gave a good shot to his side. You know, I wouldn't say that I destroyed him. I just won fair and square. And he tried to do the best, but the best that he could do was basically to endorse consumerist cuckery. A lot of people are complimenting me on the debate performance. Richard has sent a $100 tip on Subscribestar. He says, for your debate with counterpoints, that was genius that need to be rewarded from an old follower. Well, thank you so much, Richard. The people who are keeping this show alive through Subscribestar donation, amazing. Thank you so much, guys. Twitter now suspends. Oh yeah, I wanted also to read a super chat that was sent late last night, so after the show, so I couldn't read it. Tin sent $15. Thank you so much. He says, "Hi JF, great debate Friday. Always fun to watch JF the War Sword, Gary P cut down another opponent in a duel on the public space. Diaries of a consumerist cuck, lol. That brings back the blood sports days. If anyone makes a highlight montage of your career, that's a good clip to throw in." Well. I think it was a little hit with an arrow there, but I don't think it was genius. But okay, thanks for the compliment. It was just an attack thrown when the horse was already dead on the floor. I said, why not shoot a last arrow to make sure he doesn't suffer? Twitter now suspends Babylon Bee editor following joke about satire site being suspended. So the Babylon Bee has been suspended from Twitter for declaring that Rachel Levine was Man of the Year. So basically, Rachel Levine is this trans woman who transitioned from men to female 4 years ago. And of course, it's hilarious to say, well, okay, we give her the award of Man of the Year. But of course, on Twitter, you cannot misgender, it is hate speech. And so Babylon Bee is suspended from Twitter, and they're being asked to delete their tweet, and they don't want to. They say, we're not going to delete our tweet. So one of the editors of Babylon Bee, Kyle Mann, made a joke. He said, maybe they'll let us back into the Babylon Bee Twitter account if we throw a few thousand Uyghurs in a concentration camp. The idea being, the Chinese regime is allowed on Twitter, and they are oppressing the Uyghur minority. So the idea was, maybe if we were to oppress the right minority, then Twitter would let us back in. Of course, it was a joke, but it's a very interesting outcome that the editor also, who made that joke, has been banned from, blocked on Twitter for now, like temporarily. I don't know if he would accept to delete that joke. All right, Madeleine Albright, as I was saying at the beginning, a warmonger of the top kind, a person who's partly responsible for the current situation with Russia. That's a book signing opportunity that she had, where Serbians showed up, and because she had ordered the strikes, and she was very much involved in the collective NATO strike onto Serbia, they were showing her the civilian and the children victim of her strikes. And that is how she had reacted back in the days. Disgusting Serbians, get out. You're disgusted because they had photos of war horror that you caused. Who's disgusting here? The person who ordered the strike, or the person who have the impoliteness of coming with these pictures of dead children? which you have killed. So yeah, Madeleine Albright, dead today. We're done. We're done with
this is
particular warmonger. This is the video today by Coach Red Pill. Part one, the USA is committing suicide. Certainly, there will be a different economic game developing going forward. It will be very different. I don't know if it's a full suicide because the USA still has cards in their hands, but yeah, long term, the USA will be cut off from being the world economic superpower. The USD will be cut off from the variations in the price of resources, and therefore there will be less drainage possible. In other words, the USA will be regarded as the isolated entity that it should be regarded as, and there will be movements of the economy that will not favor the USA anymore. Very interesting development, although is it a full suicide? Well, Coach Red Pill does mention that ultimately what's interesting is what China will do in all this, because that's the ultimate war. Let's not forget that Russia is a country with the GDP of Mexico approximately. So it's not like it's an enemy that the US cannot handle. The US can handle them, but with China beside them, that would be a totally different game. US Supreme Court nominee Ketanji G. Brown Jackson was under interrogation by the Senate today, and it's been 3 days. I've not been covering it because I don't care about this woman. I think she's just going to go serve the further far left agenda that she's been selected to serve. I don't think it's going to be particularly bright. I don't think it's going to be particularly interesting, and it will just be further pushing for broad interpretation of the Constitution when it advantages the left's darlings like abortion and other things. But one thing was interesting is that someone asked her to define the word woman, and she said, "I can't." And she said, "I can't, I'm not a biologist. I can't in this context, I'm not a biologist." So of course, when they're annoyed at a question, they always say in these interviews, "Oh, well, I'm a judge. My duty would be to review the cases if a case about the definition of woman shows up, and then I would do my interpretation." But still, I mean, there are laws that use the word woman. So you want to have a clear definition of what a woman is if you're going to interpret this law. And what a woman is, of course, the reason she can't answer is that the definition of woman in modern time has been totally wrecked and attacked by the left, because now anyone who claims to be a woman is basically a woman by their standard. But yeah, a woman is a female member of the human species, an adult female member who is capable or expected to be potentially capable of producing an egg as part of a reproductive act in the human species. It's as simple as this. You don't need biological training to know this. Russia is capturing many Azov militants deserting Mariupol disguised as women. So the denazification process of Vladimir Putin is in full swing. And you have these Azov battalion guys who are dressed as women because they're trying to escape Mariupol without being inspected. Oh, well. That is how it ends. You are reduced to being dressed as a woman, just like you would have been if NATO had taken over Ukraine and promoted LGBT stuff. You see, it's always the same conclusion, no matter what. You end up dressed as a woman. Either you end up dressed as a woman by escaping Mariupol today, Or you end up dressed as a woman in 10 years from now because you've discovered that your trans self under the coaching sessions of the American Army. It always ends the same. So Madeleine Albright died of cancer at 84. I've already talked about it, so let's not cover it further. Lawmakers, Yellen mull freezing of Russian gold reserves. Russia has a 132 billion gold stockpile. That is something that I was surprised. Coach Red Pill was saying on his video that these reserves had been freezed. Now, this article says that they are mulling the potential freezing. So what they're looking at is they want to keep Russia from doing swaps. So they want to create a law in the US that forces the Fed to say Russia cannot take their gold and promise it to China. And they can also not say to China, okay, give me a loan and I will promise you my gold in exchange. In other words, use the gold as a guarantee for a loan. So they're trying basically to reduce all possible use of that gold so that it's basically meant it's worth nothing. Weird approach, weird, weird, weird. But that is what's happening. And Coach Red Pill was pointing out that they didn't even do that to the Nazis. In World War II, Germany had stores of gold and they were honored. So that's how dirty the modern world is. They want to take everything from Russia. And at this point, Russia is faced with another situation domestically, which is that companies are exiting the country. They don't want to deal in the country anymore because of sanction fear and the fear of public ridicule if they were to be known to be associated with Russia in the West. And so you have car manufacturers like Renault in France just going out of Russia, leaving their things there. And this car manufacturer, for example, was co-shared. Some of their infrastructure was partly owned by the state of Russia. So what you're going to end up with, just like we ended up with McDonald's, Russia will take over these facilities. And it's like, okay, I was just a 10% owner, but everyone ran. So they're going to be able to take over everything that's there. And they will be building a world for themselves because everything is abandoned. Mulder sends a question on Odyssey. He says, "Hello, JF. I have been recently thinking about radiation and evolution. Just a little thought I'm cultivating a bit, but I must ask you a question before I allow it to progress. Firstly, to what extent does radiation affect rates of mutation with complex organisms?" It does, as far as I know. I mean, an alpha particle comes with so much energy, it destroys pretty much any complex molecule it encounters. And that means kicking the RNA letters, proteins, whatever it bumps into, it will break it at a certain level of energy. So, no doubt that among the things that it breaks is DNA. I don't know the calculation of how much per rad exposure, how much do you get modifications of DNA. And then even if we had this number, it would be a problem to calculate how much do you get in your bowels, because ultimately the only mutations that count are those in eggs and sperm. So those are the problems. I don't think we have these numbers. We could try to guess a range, I guess, but I don't think we have precise numbers on this. And yeah, but radiation from uranium and that kind of stuff was very rare throughout our evolutionary history. You can have perhaps some radon radiation because it comes naturally from the ground. But even in the fact that we weren't in closed spaces and that people were living very aerated lives, I find it unlikely that radon was a special differential source of mutation. In other words, I think it may have played a role, but a passive role, just modifying everyone pretty much at the same rate. I would find it very surprising if some animals were like intentionally or kind of if they had evolved to direct themselves towards sources of radiation intentionally. Cloud Warmer says, what nationality is Madeleine Albright? American, Czech. Yes, she comes from Czechoslovakia, I believe. Steven originally, but then moved to the US. Steven Robinson is on Entropy. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chat. It is the right place to support the show. And you can also use the support button under the Odyssey video. Will the US lawmakers freeze the Russian gold stockpile? Will they make it absolutely unusable, even in exchange toward China or toward other countries? That is the survey question tonight. And Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, does this mean we should cash out our crypto into rubles? I wouldn't do this. If you enjoy risk and you want a risky decision, you could invest in ruble at their bottom, which I presume has already happened. But the thing is, investing in rubles like this, it has a lot of risk. You don't know how hot this conflict will get, and you don't know to what extent rubles could be made illegal to even possess in the West. In which case, you'll be identified as some kind of a terroristic agent working for the enemy. So I would be careful. I personally wouldn't do this, but some people who like risk might do it. Personally, I think everything we're seeing right now is all good for Bitcoin. I'm not nervous with my Bitcoins, and we've seen some regain of vigor. Although we're not out of the kind of bottom, we could be out in a few days. So I see a great future for Bitcoin no matter what happens. That's the beautiful thing. With rubles, you would be betting your entire life. With Bitcoin, you're pretty sure there's going to be a bright future for Bitcoin. UN Secretary General Guterres calls coal investment stupid. Investment in coal is stupid, and investment in the expansion of fossil fuel production must be stopped, said the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, in an impassioned speech about climate goals and the failure to achieve them. Noting that global emissions increased last year by 6%, Guterres warned we were sleepwalking to climate catastrophe. Well, the thing is, what is the alternative? What can we do? We have no alternative to coal. We have nuclear, and people complain against it. So what can we do? The only thing we could do is reduce populations, reduce consumption. And no one is talking about these things, and if you talk about these things, inevitably you will be faced with the moral problem, which population? Because no matter what kind of plan leads to population reduction, it's going to hurt some people more than others. And if it's a voluntary plan, it's worse because you're essentially going to be deceiving people against their own evolutionary interest. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, PulseX testnet V2 is out, and it shows you how many PLSX and Pulse tokens you have been given from the sacrifice. Let's go, I will be rich when PLSX hits 1 penny. Yes, it's an interesting development. I've not connected to this testnet. I'll be waiting for the real thing to be there. I've sacrificed small amounts. I am looking at it with enthusiasm. My gay channel says, I just mean that Bitcoin can be bought with USD. So if whoever controls the USD wants control of Bitcoin, they can just print USD and buy as much Bitcoin as they need. Well, that is true of anything, but the only way that this happens is by massively enriching the people who will be selling less, selling the last. So it's like, yeah, you could buy every Bitcoin in existence. There's always a price, but the last guy to whom you buy the last Bitcoin will probably sell it to you for $1 million or for $1 billion. Who knows? So, yes, it's like you're talking about some. Your statement is true about everything. You could monopolize the skateboard business. Like, it wouldn't take that much money to buy all the skateboards in the world. And yet, if you were to do this, there would be a bunch of Tim Pools running around with billions of dollars in the streets. Ariel Suarez sends $10. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I ask this for whatever selfish reason, but can you briefly go over your views on nihilism and how you believe the word should be defined? So nihilism simply means the absence of a belief or the absence of something. And in fact, historically, and you can see this in the Big Lebowski, nihilism was actually the term, nihilist was the term used instead of the modern terrorist. So nihilists were really agents of anarchy and desire to attack the system and doing so violently. So it was the equivalent of terrorism back in the 1930s, I believe. Now, nihilism is much more generally a position of a lack of belief about something or a belief that something lacks any support. And then you have moral nihilism. So nihilism can be as broad as to define stuff like despair in life, despair about existence, and despair in politics. It's a kind of black pill position on something. However, there is something much more precise, which is moral nihilism. Moral nihilism is the specific belief that moral statements don't have the property of being true and false. And so when you say it's bad to do X, you are not making a statement that makes sense from a true verification perspective. So that is the belief that moral statements are not truth apt, that they don't have the aptitude of being true or the aptitude of being false. And so you can think of moral statements as merely representing the preference of the person speaking. I believe that moral nihilism is correct because there are no objective way of assessing the truth of a moral statement. You're going to boil down to two outcomes when you try to do this. Either you're really going to be assessing the truth of a conjunctive factual statement. So for example, if you're in a debate trying to make the case that the Russian war against Ukraine is wrong, and then you're going to have someone bring photos of dead children, and look, there's dead children, it's wrong. And this is begging the question. It's like adding another fact which you have to demonstrate is wrong. The moral nihilist would say, how do you know that it's wrong to have dead children? And then the realist might answer, well, we know it's bad to have dead children because they suffer before they die. Here's a fMRI image of their brain proving that they suffer before they die. And then the moral nihilist answer is, well, how do you prove that suffering is bad? So you can infinitely beg the question. You're going to realize that all you're talking about is a list of facts, really. But that whether these facts are preferable or not preferable is not subject to a factual analysis. Because of this, I'm a moral nihilist. I don't think that truth can be assessed on questions of morality. I think they are matters of preference, and because agents are the way they are in the universe, they can deploy choices. They can cause the universe to go one way or the other through their action. Then, or they can at least prefer that the universe be headed one way or another. Because of this, all statements of states of the world and whether we should take that state or that other state, that choice or that other choice, is all boiling down to preferences. Barrage of outgoing fire witness in northwest Kiev. So the Kiev defense is bragging that they are successfully pushing Russian forces both west and east from Kiev. But just like yesterday, I don't know to what extent that is a military victory. If the Russian forces have the order of just interfacing with the front and driving back whenever they get targeted, then they're just d going according to the plan. So there's nothing really surprising about what's happening. Grapes Coda says JF is also a biologist, not a psychologist. Grapes Coda says Jordan Peter Schill denies ethnocentrism. JF does not. Jestet says like Steph Butt's preference on UPB, where JF used his taxicab geometry examples to BTFO his arguments. Good memories, good memories. And I'll be in a debate very soon again, but not with Steph Butt, Stefan Moliner. I will be with this Muslim guy on Modern Day Debate this Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Grapes Coda says, Jeff, no, this one I read. Ariel Suarez says, I believe JF has mentioned having practiced as a cognitive psychologist. Yes, that is true. I've done some research as a postdoc when I was doing my experiments at Duke University. I had a lab of monkeys, but I also had human subjects. So I was running actual cognitive psychology experiments with eye tracking, and I was studying how humans make choices in social circumstances. Like I was putting questions that would blow their mind on screen, and I was tracking what do they care about, what words do they look at, like do they have concepts of fairness in making these decisions. Stephen Robinson says Jeff Pulse X. Oh, this one I read also. I forgot to clean out the chats. Russia sees first high-level official resign and exit country over Putin's war. Okay, well, it's this guy is now a dissident, and I think he's never going to drive back to Russia because he was a representative of the Russian government on themes like global climate change. So I suspect that he just got swayed toward the liberal side, and he was too much in a field where you can only be a leftist. And he saw that Russia was taking another direction with the war. And so because he disagrees with the war, that he has escaped Russia, and he's probably going to be hiding for the rest of his life because I think it could qualify as treason if he was caught inside Russia. Dark Urza says, Jeff, terrible loss for the Russian government. Yeah, I mean, the CNN people will be rooting for this and they'll be like, oh, this shows dissent. It's like, yeah, there's dissent in your environmentalist faction when you're a oil producing, exporting country that has a plan going forward to use its oil market domination to leverage the value of its rubles. I can understand that Mr. Global Warming here was not comfortable anymore in Russia. Lapitop says moral preferences are subject to natural selection, so it's connected to reality in that aspect. Of course, deception, lying, etc. also evolve because they are adaptive. Absolutely. And this doesn't undermine moral nihilism, but it needs to be kept in mind that moral nihilism is not a statement about there cannot be machines that perceive moral statements as true. But the question is whether they are correct in perceiving those moral statements as true. Exclusive. Inside a rare US meeting with a Russian general in Moscow, a rare face-to-face meeting between Russian and US military officials last week led to an outburst of emotion from a normally stoic Russian general. A revealing moment. So you read this article by CNN and you realize we've really been fucked. We've really been taken over by a bunch of feminized cucks. Because they have nothing in this article other than we have an anonymous source within the US department that may have seen this meeting, or he may have read the notes following the meeting, and there was an outburst of emotion. What is this supposed outburst of emotion? It's that the US would have told this guy, aren't you originating from Ukraine? And this guy would have answered, yes, I was originally from this town in Ukraine, and eventually I moved to the Donbass. And you would have added, it's really terrible what's happening in Ukraine right now. That's his outburst of emotion, but they over-emotionalize it. They're talking about a sensitive meeting. He usually has a stoic demeanor. And he walked out without shaking hands. This is the big thing that happened in this secret room. A Russian person who has lived in Donbass and who says, yeah, it's horrible what's happening in Ukraine. When saying this, he's not saying necessarily it's horrible for the Ukrainians or it's horrible what we're doing. It's not a sign of dissent, because the general position could be, well, it's horrible that Donbass people have been oppressed for so many years and have been killed by the Ukrainian armed forces and the Azov battalion. But they, of course, automatically conclude that this is further a sign that there's dissent within the Putin government. They're creating fake news. They're just generating masses of factual deception, which result in a state of complete not knowing and not understanding where this war stands right now. Russia to demand hostile states pay in rubles for gas. This includes the US, UK, and European Union countries. So that's what we've talked about earlier, a very massive move that we cannot tell for sure what will be the consequences long term. Will the Europeans pay in rubles, which basically would cancel out all of the negative effects of the sanctions, because then Russia would just sell its gas at higher price until it's satisfied that it's correcting the issue. So that could be one outcome. Another outcome is the European countries don't buy the gas, but then they will be stuck with shortages. And what that means for the local population, it will be terrible. And in any case, it will increase the price of gas, because in a shortage, you will end up having people ready to pay more. We are seeing various scenes of war. I don't know where this one comes from. An explosion in some countryside location. This was published on Twitter, but I cannot attest the veracity of this one. We also have other analysis from Live UA Map. A missile was geolocated. It was sent from Crimea, and it seemed to be headed toward the west of Ukraine, or maybe Odessa. The general direction of the missiles Those were Bastion P, P800 Onyx, supersonic missiles. So contrary to the Dagger, which is launched from a plane, those missiles are launched from the ground, it appears, in Crimea. So it seems that Crimea is being used as a launch site for the rest of Ukraine. Lapitop says, my point is that in the moral spaces of all moral preferences possible, only certain parts will emerge and stabilize through selection. Still, they only exist in brains. Moral statements are not true in the same sense atoms and physical laws exist. Exactly. So you can say, you can make a factual statement about morality. You can say this philosophy is, or this moral preference is unviable. Or you can say it's disadvantageous evolutionarily, but those are all factual statements. It boils down to whenever you talk about the truth of morality, you're either going to end up with something that is not morality, which is just a factual statement, or you're going to be begging the question of, well, why is that bad? Ukraine war, Russian journalist Oksana Bolina killed in Kiev shelling. So that was a Russian journalist, but she was in Kiev, and I suspect she was kind of an independent journalist. So I don't think they would have sent a journalist to Kiev who's sympathetic with the Russian regime. So she was kind of an independent journalist, and she got shelled by the Russian forces, or so it appears, but we've seen some level of deception in those reports from the Ukrainian side, so I wouldn't necessarily take it for granted. Ukrzalidznitsia says it was ACT, the railway operator of Ukraine. Online ticketing and telephone services are currently temporarily unavailable. But passenger data is safe and the situation will not affect the movement of trains. So, some hacking and cyber attack opportunities here being taken by the Russian side. NATO worries China could support Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the head of the Western Military Alliance said on Wednesday, adding that the 30 member nations we'll discuss Beijing's role in the war Moscow is waging on its neighbor in Brussels on Thursday. It's like, how many countries are supporting Ukraine? It's like ridiculous. It's the entire Western world that is just trying to chip at Russia just cheaply. Let's send some javelin here. Oh, let's make the resistance harder. Let's make the war harder for Russia. What the heck would be the problem if one country was to side with Russia? I mean, if this is going to be a proxy war, let's make it a proxy war. Let's ensure that all of the interests on the side of Russia can send their own forces to balance out the conflict. Kiev, in this area, the Ukrainian anti-aircraft system was destroyed. So Kiev is still getting hit with specific strikes. This one was targeting an anti-air defense system that was sending missiles to Russian aircrafts. So firefighters were caught in the action, but it seems that the anti-aircraft system is now disappeared. No forest fuck. Oh yeah, so there was worrying tweets about the International Atomic Energy Agency reporting that it was informed by Ukraine that a forest near the Chernobyl nuclear power plant was on fire. So people were worried that if there's a fire in the forest, it could lift up radioactive particles that were deposited there. But people were also pointing out on the rest of Twitter, no forest fires are common in this area. It was bad year before last. smoke effects cause the air pollution, but no radioactive effects. So it's not necessarily because there's a fire that it's going to be the apocalypse. Grapes Coda says, how do you justify that there is a universal morality that isn't subject to selection pressure, creating relativism? and that was in response to Northreich, maybe, or some other people. And Grapes Coda also added, no, I didn't. So you're a Sam Harris fan. That explains everything. Harris is a tool. Peterson argues from a Christian perspective, and Harris argues from a point of harm avoidance. Both are wrong. Yes, I would agree with this statement that both are wrong. In that particular discussion that they had about truth, and Sam Harris more generally wrong on making this equivocation between truth and harm avoidance. The result of the combat use of the Javelin anti-aircraft missile systems by the armed forces of Ukraine. So what could be a crash of a missile or a plane? All right, an aircraft, an air entity taken down. A video of the attacks in Chernihiv, which is northeast of Kiev. What else did we have? The British Ministry of Defense is calling for YouTube censorship. We are calling on YouTube to help us support Ukraine by taking down videos doctored by the Russian state and disseminated to try and sap the morale of the people fighting for their freedom. As a provider of global online content, you will no doubt see far more Russian state disinformation than the Ministry of Defense, and understand the damage that can be caused by propaganda, mis- and disinformation. The doctored clip asserts that the UK's supply of NLAWs to Ukraine have often failed. Our NLAWs have not failed. This is factually incorrect. This disinformation seeks to undermine the technical manufacturing capability of UK specialized weaponry and denigrate the UK's reputation as a leading NATO partner and defense contributor. It's so beautiful how we see the West abandon all of its principles. It's like, normally you'd be alarmed at Russia, you know, oppressing their journalists, and oh my God, Russia is so evil. They are keeping journalists from showing what's really happening in Ukraine. But then, when you get to what's really happening in Ukraine, you have basically the West doing the same kind of pressure to control what the truth is. And this was what one of the inevitable conclusions of starting to define things as true. The social media entities should have kept out of this business, because when you start deciding that something is misinformation, then you're going to have a flow of requests, and there will ultimately be a fight for truth. But this fight shouldn't have been led through censorship, through keeping people from speaking. It should have been led naturally by the trends of the audience, by the preferences of the audience and the judgment capabilities of people consuming these videos. Putin beheads bioweapon engineers in Ukraine. President Vladimir Putin on Friday told Donald J. Trump that he had ordered the execution of 12 international bioweapon engineers whom Russian forces had captured in Kiev and other Ukrainian cities. I don't know if I trust this entity. Real raw news. But they claim that there was a call between Putin and Donald Trump, and Putin said that he killed He killed bioweapon engineers. I don't know. I don't know if we can trust this. And it's even claimed that Putin would have said, "Trump, this is my last update before I win the war." So he would be confident of winning the war shortly. But it seems bizarre that so much knowledge is just obtained by this small media entity. How do they know it? They can't really prove it. You have to rely on an anonymous source. But it would be it's an interesting perspective. If Putin believes that he will be winning soon, perhaps that means that Kiev has never been the goal and it's always been a diversion. And perhaps he doesn't plan at all to do an attack on Kiev. Perhaps his goal was really as stated, the demilitarization and denazification. And perhaps this goal will have been accomplished already very soon, because what's left for Ukraine really? Landon Guntram says, "This was my point for some time now. The differences in this department are so minimal between the West and Russia that it practically becomes meaningless to accept any virtue signaling." Yeah, exactly. So the modern virtue signaling that's developing is just a kind of "I'm on the right team" type of stuff. Like on the vaccine, there was the good people who were taking the vaccine, and then the grandma killers who were not taking the vaccine. People are saying that there is now the option on live stream to choose the quality of the video. Let me try to refresh to see if I see it, because it wasn't there at the very beginning. There it is. You can watch the live stream in
to choose
144p.
of the
Wow.
let me try to refresh.
So there you go, those people who are suffering from buffering. There I am in 184p, 144p. So that will allow you to reduce your buffering issues. I guess that's why the stream wasn't able to start at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Odyssey is doing a live switch of their server infrastructure, so that's why the show started late. But that is a good option. I hope that they can handle the computational power. I would want to see this decentralized eventually, because I could generate a 144p and send it to stream to Odyssey. But if they have the computational power to do it, let's do it. That's great. So people are going to start complaining, to stop complaining. And you'll be all able to view whatever your connection allows to view. That's wonderful when you trust an entity like Odyssey and they keep getting better and better. It's so awesome, because on YouTube, they would keep getting worse. You could have no hope on YouTube of any improvement. All you could know is one day they're gonna go after you, they're gonna shut you down because you're gonna get too much viewers. Justet says, "JFG demand Odyssey not to do infrastructure upgrades before 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time daily." Yeah, I don't demand this. It would be, I could be acting like a princess and ask for this, but I'm not that kind of guy, and I understand that updating infrastructure is kind of hard. Tillman says, "JF, can you add that to your stream?" Well, it is available. You can choose the quality. If you don't see it, it's because you were probably here too early. Just refresh the browser and you'll see that the option has appeared. A large flash around Kiev on a security camera. Let's see what this explosion looks like. Okay, more explosions around Kiev. Mariupol was still on fire in the same way it was following the bombardments of yesterday. Large clouds of smoke elevating above Mariupol. And we see some pictures of what seems to be described as a cluster ammunition containing rocket. Today, Russia was criticized for using phosphorus missiles. Definitely, there has been some explosion that were sparkling and that looked like some kind of phosphorus stuff. Of course, the reason they are criticized, and in fact, it was formally stated by the US that Russia is committing war crimes in Ukraine. I think that these are extremely subjective attacks on Russia. War crimes, you know, did the US ever declare itself as committing war crimes? Because by the standard of the Russian intervention, if that is a war crime, then the US has been committing war crimes for more than 80 years now. So I don't like these formal declaration because they are all grounded in hypocritical assessment of what's at play. As far as the phosphorus bombing, they are valid weapons to use against an army, but I think the critique was that they are illegal to use by international law. They are restricted use against civilian. You cannot use them against civilians. But then the big problem is Ukraine has made all of its civilians recruits of the army, all of the male civilians. And it has also made all of its civil infrastructure a potential site for combat. So I'm pretty sure that Russia, when it strikes with these phosphorus weapon, they are targeting specific sites that are known to harbor to harbor military installations. Like we've seen in the case of the shopping center. Russia will respond if Poland expels Russian diplomats, says the Russian Foreign Ministry. So Russia keeps saying this every time countries talk about expelling their diplomats. But what does that mean? Is it a proportionate response? Then it would just mean we're going to kick your diplomats. For now, this is what seems to be happening. The Russia is going tit for tat, but at a reasonable pace, and they don't specify what this response will be. Twigs Kadromale says, Jeff, Eric Carmichael must have been in the meeting, hiding in the corner. Okay, I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but okay. And before we conclude the show, it's been like a week that I wanted to address some points that Fathom has been discussing on the Discord, some of them about replicator theory. And recently, also another comment that he made on the Ted Kaczynski commentary that I have done a couple of days ago. He says, Jeff, on the Ted Pill commentary from today's show. So that was the question of, is Ted Kaczynski correct that we have that every adoption of technology is a path toward the revolutionary phenotype, basically toward full control of the technological society over our own selves? Or should we tolerate certain technologies? Like, should, because I was pointing out in my commentary, if you really want to give up any form of technology, then you don't even have walls, you don't even have roofs, you don't have floors, you don't have insulation. So Fadam says, whether you are unwittingly cucking to TRP by endorsing a toaster, my answer is yes. The problem isn't the authority or the technology. The problem is the human ecological equilibrium point of a society that has technology. The premise that seems to inform Ted's strategic thinking is that you can't oppose a trend in society that is both established in the society already and evolutionarily favorable to its practitioners. While toasters are more cheap to acquire from centralized toaster production, there is a pressure towards the authority of the toaster manufacturer. Even if it's just a toaster company, the peasant benefits from going along with whatever allows them to access to buying toasters. and the CEO to extort compliance for access to toasters. This ecology can only ratchet towards centralized toaster authority and conditional protections for peasants to access toasters. This could be a grim and disgusting fate for humanity that you could simply live on the periphery of, if not for TRP. When this evolutionary pressure touches gene modifications, it's all over, and there's no way to prevent people in such an ecology from eventually finding it. The only way is to prevent TRP is to cut technology off at a defendable bottleneck, much like Putin is doing with Eastern Europe. You have to prevent the advance at a point where learned scholars can bash every toaster they find with a rock until no one wants toast anymore. That's an interesting claim. And I think you're right in your theoretical analysis. But then the question is, and it boils down to this, what is the defendable bottleneck? I believe that we can keep living with walls and insulation and toasters without succumbing for TRP. But you're right. I mean, it's a war and we're on a trajectory. But I think that the toaster doesn't put you on the irremediable path to TRP. So you acknowledge that there's a bottleneck, Fadam. I would say I'm satisfied with this. That's enough for me. I think the question then becomes, what is this bottleneck? And there was another point that he was making. I'm searching for his comment. It was about trickster printers. What if I do the Control F Fadam? I can't search by the name of the person. What is this? Control F Fadam. What if I search by, because I remember there was the word trickster. Okay, there it is. At another point, which was related to the revolutionary phenotype. I want to be sure that I catch his first statement of that point. Okay, he says, I think it's a fallacy to say that an exception can't be made for testicles to promote non-random gene propagation. So we were talking about the possibility of having testicles that would choose which sperm makes it to the next generation. They basically would disadvantage certain sperm based on their combination of the meiotic reassortment, such that certain genes would not pass. Or they would pass at a lesser frequency. They would be like intelligent testicles that would decide the fate of evolutionary creatures. He says, I think it's a fallacy to say that an exception can't be made for testicles to promote non-random gene propagation on the basis that a competition would ensue to exploit that non-randomness and then reapproach randomness again, because only the good exploiters would be left. Because I was mentioning that the answer of Robert Rivers to these possibilities is these mechanisms will be very hard and they will be combated evolutionarily. Because whenever you have a gene for special testicles of that kind showing up, all of the other genes will be evolutionarily incentivized to neutralize this mechanism so that they can pass on to the next generation. If that were true, then wouldn't the same opposition apply to non-random trickster printing? Shouldn't trickster printers be bound to randomly mutate genes without forward prediction if that argument holds against non-random testicles? If a trickster printer can do forward prediction of mutations, then testicles can hold farming tournaments to do the same with gene assortment. I don't think the argument that assured gene randomness holds for testicles once you have the idea of trickster printers. I think that trickster printers in the form of replicases can non-randomly and in a forward predicting way induce mutations, and in the same way testicles can farm, i.e. print by exclusion, the same non-random and forward predicting result. So he's trying to make a parallel between like trickster printer, the idea that our brain, for example, when they pass on a meme, they can neutralize certain words, they can change the nature of a story, they can change the meaning of a sentence. So our brain are trickster printers from the perspective of memes. He's saying, if that can happen to memes, why can't testicle do that to genes during sexual selection, sexual reproduction? And my point to him was, I think you are forgetting a major difference between trickster printers and, let's call them, cheating testicles. The genes affected by the cheating testicle are on an evolutionary course. They are participating collectively to successful organisms only because they have a fair chance to reproduce from these organisms. The replicator that's the victim of a trickster printer isn't on an evolutionary course, at least not one of its own. It is phenotypic, and it is only selected for its ability to replicate the trickster. Thus, there is no corrective mechanism that would come and evolve to randomize things. So when a meme, when a sentence gets changed by the human brain, it doesn't have an evolutionary reaction because it doesn't have the means to evolve in a Darwinian manner to compete with the human brain. But the genes in our testicles do. That was the essence of this conversation. And he ended up reformulating his point to a point where I agree with him. He said, I'm talking about the trickster printer of that replicator, the replicator's own replicas. The replicator's own trickster slash replicas is biasing the propagation of genes into the next generation with its forward predicting mutations. Why then can't cheating testicles also bias the propagation of genes into the next generation by forward predicting selection? And I think he uses forward predicting. That's kind of a human view to it, but I don't think it's a true evolutionary mechanism. When, for example, when our brain changes sentences, they may be forward predicting in the sense that you may be confronted with a sentence of human speech that none of your ancestor has ever seen. And yet your brain may be, in a way, prepared to shape that sentence properly so that it will maximize the reproduction of your children. You may have the emotional structure in your brain that gives you a kind of good sense to how to sculpt that sentence to favor your own survival. Of course, almost every sentence of human speech in people's everyday life are novel. They were not encountered, or they were encountered in a very different form by distant ancestors. So in a way, there is something like forward prediction in the sense that the brain is shaped in a way that will handle things that it has never seen before in evolutionary history. But that's what he means by forward predicting. He says, I would restate the yet unread contention by Trivers that such cheating testicles would eventually lose their advantage in a war of attempted cheating, and just say, yeah, the cheating testicles is just a kind of trickster printing that farms good sperm because those are the kind of sperm that the cheating testicles predict will have the best gene assortment. So he's phrasing it in a different way here, but it still carries to me the fundamental error of thinking that the cheating testicles would be a good mechanism. First, the cheating testicles is fully dependent on the success of the organism. And the success of the organism is fully dependent on the fact that sexual reassortment happens in a fair way. Any parasitic system, and this is what Robert Trivers was explaining in Selfish Genetic Elements, any parasitic system that comes in to reproduce more than the other sperm cells or the other genes of the genome will cost energy and it will cost valid adaptations. And because sexual species are what they are a pool of genetic interest that is totally invested in the success of the individual. So I reject this parallel between trickster printers and cheating testicles. I think cheating testicles must be much rarer than trickster printers. Trickster printers will happen whenever you have a separation of two different replicators and one can control what the other becomes. But what's happening in a cheating testicle will come from the very set of genetic interests that are improperly invested if they combat the success of the overall organism. Will the US lawmakers freeze the Russian stock gold pile? The gold stockpile. And everyone has answered yes. Six people have voted. So yes, I think it might happen, and that would be a very sad thing because no one has frozen the US reserves when they made war. So why would Russia be punished here? My gay channel says, curious, as JF discussed the mouse utopia experiment at length before on a show. I think it's an over-exaggerated, over... People are too fascinated for what it is. It looks like crap to me. Maybe it's true. It's just... It's not an experiment. It's a circus demonstration. It tells nothing. You give mice everything they need and suddenly things go bad. It's like one of these metaphorical political statement through experiment. I really don't like that kind of science. It's crap. Bye bye. Thank you.